Welcome, my friends, to another edition of Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour. My name is Peyman Motahede. I'm the founder and president of Freedom Law School and the host for this weekly program. Tonight, I will cover the topic of the fact that in the federal laws and the federal tax laws especially, there are many different, very specific definitions of the term United States and states that you'll find in there. And that in the federal tax laws, the Internal Revenue Code, this entire book of federal tax laws, most of it, almost all of it, applies only to Washington, D.C., the seat of the United States government, and anything related from Washington, D.C. Okay. Now, we've covered this topic before, but I'm going to go over it from a different angle of showing you how all these definitions matter. They make a big distinction in the laws. I'll show it to you that way. This is actually, if you go to my screen, you'll see that I got our website up, livefreedom.org. And if you go from there to the Freedom Hour link on the top, and you open that link in a new tab, you're going to get to our Freedom Hour page. And then you could click it on YouTube link, right, to open that in a new tab. You will get to our YouTube channel very easily. But you all should subscribe to that. A lot of great information there for you folks. Pass it on to your friends. Become a subscriber and ring the bell. And here, folks, I got a lot of different information and few specific ones you've got to watch first. So before tonight's presentation, you really got to watch these presentations first, and this one will be just the last finishing touch of this topic, okay? So here we are. I covered here the topic, the question, are you a United States citizen who is required to file and pay income tax? And this was streamed live on March 12th. 2020. The second one that you want to see is who is required to file and pay income tax. And this Freedom Hour presentation was streamed live on April 9th, 2020. Now, the third part of this, you know, which I did in June 2020. Since 1913, has a federal income tax only applied to federal territories? And this was streamed live June 8, 2020. And this one, of course, I traced back the whole development of the federal tax laws from 1913, from the first so-called federal income tax all the way to the current version of the federal tax laws in the Internal Revenue Code, they call this, how it only applies to Washington, D.C. Tonight, again, I'm going to show you how all these definitions are so different and so specific for a very good reason. It was intended that way by U.S. Congress. So let's go back to my screen to go over the topic. I'm going to give you a quick recap of what I've covered before, and I'm going to get into this topic in more detail very shortly. So, folks, I've covered it with you before this thing, just a short recap, how you can look up any federal law on the internet. Yeah, I use DuckDuckGo.com, not Google, who spies on you. And I use Brave rather than Chrome and Firefox because they spy on you. Brave doesn't do that. You can look up any federal law on the internet. 26 USC stands for 20. And look it up on the internet. Category or Title 26 of United States Code. Federal laws are United States Code, USC for short, as you can see here. So I typed in 26 space USC and then space section 7701. Just type it in space. And then if you add house.gov at the end, like I did, you'll get the official source of the law from the House of Representatives website. And you put your mouse on here and what comes up and click on that in the new tab from uscodehouse.gov. There it is. You see section 7701 definitions in the Internal Revenue Code, okay? In fact, this chapter 79 is all on definitions. And when you scroll down, you'll see it says A. When used in this title, what title? The Internal Revenue Code, Title 26. Right here, they call it the Internal Revenue Code, okay, as a nickname for it, okay? When using this title, they define all kind of terms specifically. Let's go down to A9 and A10. I've covered this before. That determine the United States when used in the geographical sense, the only one that matters, includes only the states and the District of Columbia, okay? And then we say, well, maybe state, it means the 50 states or several states. No, it does not. The term state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia, where such construction is necessary to carry out the provisions of this title. So it's very clear that, you know, in a geographical sense, the one that matters, what land geography covers, right? And we need that geographical sense, what? To have a proper construction or understanding of the provision of this tax laws, okay? The term state of the United States both mean basically District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. Now, I covered that before, but, and it's pretty clear, the law is very clear. But some people are still not satisfied. They say, no, Payman, I want more proof. Fine. Here it is. Let's go to U.S. Supreme Court. We're going to look up together. We did that before. A case of Meese versus Keene, M-E-E-S-E space, V period, which means versus, space, K-E-E-N-E. Okay, so you search that, open that link in the new tab, and sure enough, there it is. Here's the case of Meese versus Keene. It's a 1987 U.S. Supreme Court case you see here. Okay, we're going to click on the case, not the syllabus. That's already here, not the summary, but the case. We click on the case. Here it is. We're going to go down to relevant language of this case. That's important, which is on page 44, which I'm going to bring up for you momentarily. And that's the key thing that is important. Here it is. The court says it is axiomatic, which means obvious, self-evident, that the statutory definition, which means a definition in statutes, in legislation, laws. So definition and laws of a term excludes the unstated meanings of that term. It's obvious. If it's not there, it's not there. Like I showed you guys, Washington, D.C. is the only thing that's there. The 50 states are not there. They're not included in the definition of state or United States in the laws, right? And, of course, we continue on reading that the court says that as judges and American people, it is our duty, what? To construe, which means understand legislation or laws as it is written, right? Not as it might be read by a layman, the average person, or as it might be understood by someone like you, who until today may not have even read it, right? So it's very clear. This supports the contention, folks, here, that, again, United States and state and the federal tax laws primarily refers only to D.C. The income tax applies only to Washington, D.C., but for the naysayers, we're going to continue on. We're going to go look up the other U.S. Supreme Court case that is relevant of Gould v. Gould. G-O-U-L-D space, V period space, G-O-U-L-D. You search that, okay, it comes up. And remember, folks, I do all this so you can do the exact same thing at your home computer like I do. So I'm not making it up. You can do this on your own step by step. And if you want to rewind the video to that your part, it's there. You can rewind it also nicely, right? Easily. So here is Gould versus Gould. I go to the second one, Supreme Justicial, I prefer. Open that link in a new tab, and here it is. It's a very short case, Gould versus Gould. It's a 1917 U.S. Supreme Court case. Here I'm going to click on the case and then go down to a relevant language that is very short. This was the conclusion of the case, what I'm going to show you right now, which is in the interpretation or understanding of statutes, laws, levying, imposing taxes. In understanding federal, you know, tax laws, imposing taxes, it is established rule, well-known rule not to extend their provisions. Provisions of what? The provisions of the tax laws. By implication, there's no taxing by implication, right? Beyond the clear import of the language used. Okay, if the language doesn't say it, it is not there. Or to enlarge the operations of what? Of the tax laws, so as to embrace or include matters not specifically pointed out. Very clear, right? There's no taxing by implying. It's got to be there, clearly said, stated, otherwise it's not there, right? But this last part gets even better. The Supreme Court continues that in case of doubt, they, that means the tax laws, are construed, means understood, most strongly against the government's power to tax object, activity, or person, and in favor of the citizen not being taxed. Bam! Hit the nail on the head, folks. You think that will do it for everybody right there? It should. Nail in the coffin, right? For some people, it's not enough. They want more nails in the coffin, right? Okay, well, folks will do that. See, you see right here? That's the nail in the coffin. We already nailed the coffin, but I'm going to bring more nails in the coffin for you to bear this argument that the federal income tax laws primarily apply to people in 50 states. They don't. I'm going to give you more ammunition right now. We're going to look up some more definitions of federal laws. Then I'm going to come back focus on federal tax laws specifically, okay? And I'm going to show you how they use a term like the 50 states, several states, when they want to in federal laws. They do use those words, yes. They don't have to imply them. It's clearly there when they can. And they do want to apply the law to their several states of the union or the 50 states. Let's go on together. Let's look up 28 space USC 3002, again, house.gov. All right. We do that when the answer comes up from house.gov. The second one came from me here. We open that link in the new tab, and here it is, section 3002. This is from Title 28, Judiciary and Judicial Procedure, right? Particular Proceedings, Federal Debt Collection Act Procedure, and definition and general provisions, right? So it says, definitions, very important. Definitions are key. As used in this chapter, they define all kind of things, right? Counsel for the United States, the court, debt. Oh, let's go down. How about the United States? Is that there or state? Oh, look at that. They're there. Look at that. We found it, folks. Here it is. 14. State means any of the several states. Bingo. They know about the several states. Congress was not stupid to forget about them. And do name the several states when they want to, right? And also, the District of Columbia specifically mentioned. And oh, look at that. The Commonwealth of Puerto Rico is in there. The Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands, which I bet most of you never heard about. Or any territory or possession of the United States. That's a state. Mariana Islands is a state. A possession of the United States is a state. That's funny. Okay, fine. They can do that, though. They can do that if they want to. And the United States means a federal corporation, like the Federal Deposit. Like what? Like your example is Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Okay, the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the U.S. Postal Service. You know, the Federal Reserve Governing Board in D.C. These are all federally created corporations in D.C. Right? That's what they're talking about. Okay, an agency, department, commission, board, or other entity of the United States, again, ODC, or an instrumentality of the United States. That's what they want to do. Anything that's part of the government, That's what the United States means. Even the territories now of the United States all are included in the word states. Okay, fine. They can do that, right? That's the government. Let's look up another one now. Here we got 8 space USC, space 1101house.gov, right? Let's go look it up. Sure enough, definitions comes up and open that link in a new tab. And we get this. This is from what title? 8, aliens and nationality, immigration and nationality, general provisions. Let's go down. You see definitions. And what does it say? It says, as used in this chapter. Okay. Now let's go scroll down at, you know, to see what United States and states, where they're at. There it is, all the way down to 36. Here we have the term state includes the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Guam. Oh, look at that. The Virgin Islands of the United States showed up. And the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. That is interesting. That state. Well, if that's a state, what's the United States? Because it's not the 50 states in here, right? Well, here we go. 38. The term United States, except that otherwise specifically provided, okay, when used in a geographical sense, means the continental United States. Oh, look at that term, folks. Continental United States. Do you see that? That's another way of saying the 48 states, right? The continental United States that are next to each other, right? And Alaska and Hawaii are added in there. Oh, so the whole 50 states. And Puerto Rico, Guam, the Virgin Islands of the United States, the Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands. Wow. So again, I just showed you that when it comes to federal laws, the federal government certainly knows the term 50 states is there. Several states is there, continental United States. Oh, I haven't shown you 50 states? I will. Hang in there. They can refer to all these states of the union when they want to. But now I'm going to show that to you all this when it comes to tax laws. Back to the Internal Revenue Code we're going to go to, right? So let's go back to my monitor, and we're going to look up in some of the code sections. We'll look up this one again. Title 26 space USC 993 space house.gov, right? We'll look it up. The answer is right here. We'll open a link in a new tab. And here it is. This is from Title 26, okay? Income taxes and normal taxes and certain taxes. Tax based on income from sources within or without the United States. Domestic international sales corporations. Ah, that's a very limited topic. Right. What does it say? Well, look, it says definition and special rules. For the purposes of this part, just this part, right? Well, they talk about a lot of different things, but we're going to go down, okay, here. For the very bottom to the definition that we're looking for here. We're going to go down a little bit and got to be patient because they define a lot of different things here. Okay, ooh, look at that, folks. Here is G, United States, defined. For the purposes of this part, the term United States includes the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico and the possessions of the United States. Virgin Islands is not there. Northern Mariana Islands is not there. Other possession territories of the United States and the 50 states are not there. And even the District of Columbia is not there, folks. How about that, right? They chose not to put District of Columbia in there either, right, for whatever reason, right? Let's go back. Let's do some more research for ourselves. Look up another section I got for you. Title 26, USC, Section 3, 306house.gov. We got a search here. Let I open up right already in the next page for you. Here it is. This chapter is on Unemployment Tax Act, unemployment insurance payments, right? When you apply for unemployment, where does unemployment applies to folks? Those that are claiming unemployment for a coronavirus hoax, who is it supposed to be paid to? Well, let's take a look. Okay? It has specific definitions. Okay? For the thing like, for the person of this chapter, they have these different things. Let's go down to the relevant part of this. I already have it here. Here we go. In under J. Okay? State, United States, and American employer are defined. For the purpose of this chapter, the term state includes the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. Okay. And United States, the term United States, when used in geographical sense, includes the states. But the states we just covered is what? The states is District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and Virgin Islands. So, right? So here they say United States includes D.C., Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, and D.C., Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands again. What the heck? Completely repetitious, right? But look, hey, who am I to argue with Congress? They want to have the same exact definition. They can do that. They call states, same as the United States, just like the Supreme Court says. Yes, sir, right? In Keene versus Meese versus Keene, right? Let's go down, look a little bit more sections now. We'll look up another section. 26 USC 3121 House.gov. Already have it opened up here for you on the next page, the same way I've shown you before. This is Federal Insurance Contributions Act. This is Social Security taxes, folks. Yes. FICA, your paycheck you see comes out. FICA, that's what it is. And Medicare, Federal Insurance Contributions Act, yes. And they have here on the definitions many things defined. When they go down to definition of state of the United States, it has a specific definition. There it is, way down in E. For the purposes of this chapter, the term state includes the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, oh, Guam. Look at Guam is there. And American Samoa. Hey, those big Samoan guys. They didn't forget about you guys. You guys are special. They included you here in the Social Security and Medicare Act, right? And how about United States? Well, the term United States, when used in a geographical sense, again, the only sense that matters, includes the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, Guam, and American Samoa. Dadgummit, exact same thing. Wow, except the state includes the District of Columbia. Funny thing, and District of Columbia is not a state at all. So guess what? What does that tell you, folks? That shows the entire Social Security laws, payments, taking money out of your paycheck, your employer taking money from you, paying you, Medicare, all that applies to people in D.C., Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, Guam, and Samoa only. That's what Congress chose for this chapter. Right? Okay, let's go back. Where is this chapter? I'm going to go to the top of this page, folks. This chapter is what? This chapter is Subtitle C, Employment Taxes, Federal Insurance Contributions Act, General Provisions Definition C. Okay, so this is about that's what it is. Let's go now and look up a couple more laws. Now here, folks, it gets interesting. You'll see a term 50 states included in tax laws. When Congress wants to do that, they can, and do include 50 states. Let's see. Let's look up section 6103 like we've done before, like the others said. The way we did it, and here it is, it comes up. Here it is, information and returns. It's about confidentiality and disclosure of returns and information, right? So here it is, right? So returns and return information shall be confidential. Okay. Your tax returns are confidential. Fine. Let's go down to the row of a language of definitions. Ooh, look at that. They define the term state. In general, the term state means any of the 50 states. Whoa. Any of the 50 states. And the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, American Samoa, and, oh, they remembered, they put back the Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands. Okay? Interesting, folks. The guess what? When they want to include things more, they can and do it. It applies in all the 50 states. Because no matter what state it is, your tax return information is confidential everywhere in the whole 50 states and territories. Right? Now, let's go back. You guys want more nails in the coffin of this argument? You know, these people that say, oh, no, it's implied. It's implied. It applies to California, New York, Florida, Texas, right? It's implied, obviously, because we have income tax for 7 years. Must be. It's got to be in there. It's got to be in there. Well, let's do one more look. Let's look at one more law. That's 26 U.S.C. 4612. Okay. House.gov. We'll look it up. And here it is. It comes up. And I have it open for you right here. Okay. This is miscellaneous excise taxes, environmental taxes, tax on petroleum or oil, right? And so here it is, definition and special rules for the purpose of this chapter, right? This particular chapter only, subchapter. What subchapter? On tax on petroleum, right? They define all kind of stuff, but let's focus right now on United States. The term United States means the 50 states. There you go again. 50 states. And they name the 50 states again when Congress has the ability to tax something or some activity of people in the 50 states. And the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, ooh, any possession of the United States, like Virgin Islands, Guam, right? The Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands. And for the first time, we see such a place as the Trust Territory of the Pacific Islands. Huh. Wait. It's more. Look. United States includes continental shelf areas. You're saying, Paymon, what the heck is the continental shelf? The 48 states, Alaska and Hawaii, the continent. On the seabed, like you go, I don't know, 10 miles or 50 miles outside of the, by the sea in the ocean, that's a continental shelf all across America. That whole water, body of water in the Pacific Atlantic Ocean, continental shelf. Here, they're including even that in a definition of the United States. How do you like that? And, oh, there's more. Look at that. They also include foreign trade zones. Any foreign trade zones in the United States. Well, how about that? Like where? Well, like the Panama Canal. That used to be part of a trade zone in the United States. They sold it. But in case there's any other trade zones, like Panama Canal, that in the United States, in this one part of the Internal Revenue Code only. Otherwise, it's not there. You cannot imply it. So you see now, Congress has so many very specific and different definition of the term state and United States in the Internal Revenue Code. And if we were to say that when we go to Section 7701, A9, and 10, right, which I'm going to bring up in front of you right now, the key section that we deal with, here it is, folks. In Title 26, Section 7701, 701 that says when using this title, and they say in A9 and 10, the United States and state mean Washington, D.C. Right there, right? We went over this. Then when people say, oh no. Even though it always says it's states and D.C. and D.C. and state also means only D.C. Oh no, it's got to be California. It's got to be New York and Texas and Florida. It's got to be in there. Okay, so if we were to imply that it's in there, how about Puerto Rico, Guam, Virgin Islands, American Samoa? How about Trust Territory of Pacific Islands? How about the continental shelf and foreign trade zones? Are they included? Well, but how about all these other definitions in the Internal Revenue Code? They are very specific definitions. Some include these pieces of land and some don't. Some include this and that and the other. And other ones include this, and the other. And then another different combination of these in all these laws. So if everything is implied in there, then none of these definitions matter at all. None of them. They're all just meaningless. They all include all the 50 states, all the territories, continental shelf, and foreign trade zone. All these laws that Congress specifically decided for those certain parts, chapter, subchapter of the Internal Revenue Code is specifically limited to certain land areas only. So we covered that. Are you wondering? Let's get to the next part. So there's no doubt the federal income tax laws apply to the Washington, D.C. And I covered it before in a previous presentation to citizens, residents of Washington, D.C., and money coming from or related to Washington, D.C. There's got to be a D.C. connection. By the way, everywhere is like that. California, Texas, anything related to that state, they can tax. Okay, that's what they all do that. France, Germany, every country in the world has that. But why? Why did they do that? I mean, let's go look a little further, folks, on the internet and search this issue. Okay, let's look at first Washington, D.C. Let's look at Washington, D.C. on the internet. And when you do that, and you go to maps, okay, and I got maps already open up D.C., you notice that D.C., here we go, let's go to maps, is actually a very, do I have the right one here? Let me check. One second, folks. I think I may have the right one. No, I do have the right one, I think, yeah. Hold on, no, this is it. We're going to maps, there we go. Here's map of Washington, D.C. coming up right now. Let's see, how come it's not coming up for me quickly enough? Okay, let's get that. My thing is not, like, I'm going to redo this page so it comes up better. There we go. There's Washington, D.C. for you, okay? You see this river on the left side, the Potomac River? Okay, it's got these pink lines around it, right? Let's zoom out a little bit more and look at it a little bit closer. You see Washington, D.C. here? And the right side and north is Maryland. On the left bottom is Virginia, okay? Let's zoom out a little bit more, okay? You're not becoming more clear how small Washington, D.C. is. Again, you see on right, and right side up is Baltimore, okay, right? Biggest city of Maryland, right? And on left is Arlington, Virginia, right? Because this was 10 miles, this land was given by Virginia and Maryland to the federal government. Here we go. Look how small that is, folks. Look at Maryland there, and you see in the bottom on the right and bottom, like Virginia, right there. Oh, man, look how tiny Washington, D.C. is, folks, right? Tiny. You can barely see it there. You zoom out more. Oh, my gosh. Compared to the whole United States, look at that. It's practically just a tiny little dot. Yep, it's practically a dot. Why is that place so important? Huh? There's a good reason why, and that relates to why the federal income tax laws were written to apply to Washington, D.C. You're going to see the reason why clearly now. Okay? Let's go and look up the U.S. Constitution for ourselves. And when we do that, we found that constitution.congress.gov. Hey, wonderful. Congress provides a link for that to us. Let's open up that link in a new tab. As it came up, just like me, you could follow like me. Here is the Constitution of the United States government, right? Now, when we go to on the left side, to our click on the Article 1 legislative branch. Okay, click on that. Open that link in a new tab. Bingo, I have it. Our Article 1. We go down. Ooh, look at this highlighted paragraph. This is a pesky little paragraph the government people do not like. This was put in the U.S. Constitution. What does it say? It says representative and direct taxes on people shall be apportioned or divided up among the several states which may be included within this union. Okay, according to their respective numbers, right? We shall be determined according to the whole numbers of persons, blah, 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 blah. Folks, that's what the purpose of census is. It used to be it was a bill for this much money, and they divided up among the states. The bigger states got more of the bill. Small states got, like Delaware, Rhode Island, got much less than Pennsylvania or New York. And the states were to collect the tax, which would be, let's say, $10 a person per year. That was the intent right there. That is very difficult process to go through. There's also another part of this Constitution that the federal government people don't like. They never liked it, okay? And that is in, also further down here, Article 1. Okay, I'm going to go down to it in Section 9, Article 1, Section 9. Okay, here, this is the language of that. It says, no capitation. Capitation means head tax. You hear the word decapitate? Take your head off? Well, that's what it is. Decapitate is head tax. That's what it means, per person. We all have one head, right? No capitation or head tax, okay? It says, or other direct tax shall be laid unless in proportion to the census or enumeration, which is numbering of the people here before directed to be taken. That's what the census was for. You got to take a census, okay, to see how many people live in the states and have that tax, you know, apportioned, divided up amongst the people of the union. As you can see, it was deliberately a very cumbersome process. And the federal government would not take the tax. The states would be the one collecting a tax due to the federal government. It was done that way deliberately. Well, guess what? This is very troublesome for the federal government to do it this way. Very difficult to do it this way. So they found a way around it, and this is how they found the way around. Look at this. In the Constitution, look at this, folks. There is a part about Washington, D.C., which I've right highlighted for you. And where does this come from? I've highlighted here for you, folks. This comes from Article 1, again, Section 1. But we're going to go way down there again. Talks about land belongs to the United States, okay? The federal government will be able to exercise exclusive legislative jurisdiction in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as may by secession of particular session states and the acceptance of Congress become the seat of the government of the United States and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislatures of the state in which the state shall be, and for erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings, okay? Okay, and to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers, okay? Now, there's another part of the Constitution that adds to this. That's his key. This is in Article 4. In Article 4, here is in Section 3, the relevant language. Aha! Then it says what, guys? Congress shall have power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property belonging to the United States. They can make what? Congress can make all needful rules and regulations for where? About any territory or other property belonging to the United States. Yes, the territories of the United States. California and New York are not territories of the United States, right? This was the loophole that they wanted to put the needle through. So what they did, they did a tax in Puerto Rico, which by the 1895 war with Spain was taken away from Spain. They put a tax between, you know, D.C. and Puerto Rico, and went to Supreme Court this case, right? And in Down versus Bidwell, the majority of the court, 5-4, gave a victory to the statists. They wanted to be able to tax limiting powers that I showed you here in the Constitution. They got that in the case of Downs versus Bidwell. We'll look it up. Okay? So here it is, folks. We can look it up together. Okay, case of Downs, D-O-W-N-E-S space, B period space, Bidwell, B-I-D-W-E-L-L. We can look it up. Okay? Now, I had it already open for you here. Here is the court case. The 1901 U.S. Supreme Court case. Syllabus of summary of the case says it correctly. I'm going to show you. Published by the court itself. It says, here we go, the second paragraph. The island of Puerto Rico is not a part of the United States. What? Do you see that? The island of Puerto Rico is not part of the United States. Why? Within that provision of the Constitution, which declares that all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. I'll then read that part to you. This is about tax on imports. Got to be uniform through everywhere. Okay? And the court said that the tax on imports doesn't have to be uniform in Puerto Rico because Puerto Rico is not one of the states. I forgot to put that in there for you, but it's there. So, the court case is very long. It's over 140 pages. Here, I'll show it to you right now, okay? Here it is actually. You can go, you click on the case, okay? And the case will come up, about 140 pages. And the funny thing is the majority was in agreement. No, the minority, 4, that said this is a bunch of nonsense, the 4 agreed. The judges that were a majority, they all gave different opinions about how they came up with the same conclusion in Norway. Because lies take more lying to explain. Truth is simple. So that's why I'm going to go now to the Wikipedia summary. They do a pretty good job of summarizing what this case of Downs versus Bidwell is about, right? So here's what it says. The key part is this, okay? The resulting decision of Downs versus Bidwell held that the Constitution did not necessarily apply to the territories. Look at that. The Constitution does not necessarily apply to territories. Really? Well, when? Where does it not apply? At all? No, not at all. Only in, check this out, tax cases. Instead, Congress had jurisdiction to create law within territories in certain circumstances, particularly in those dealing with the revenue taxes, which would not be allowed by Constitution for the proper states within the Union. Ah, that's it, folks. Okay? That is the key thing. That's the loophole where they put the federal income tax laws through. This whole book, Internal Revenue Code, primarily is written for, as we went through, Washington, D.C. Right? Because the government, federal government does not, is not restricted in any way by those limitation languages of the U.S. Constitution. Yeah. You see how bad it is? I'll tell you how bad it is. This is what the, you know, let's go on a little bit further. We go down for the read about this case. Okay, so in the decision, the Supreme Court decided 5-4 that the newly annexed territories, Puerto Rico, were not properly part of the United States for the purpose of the Constitution in a matter of revenues, administrative matters, and the like. Just for those reasons. That's it. Just for those reasons. Taxes was a big thing. So what happened? There was a disagreement, a dissent by Justice Marshall Harlan, okay? That's his picture comes up, right? That's him, folks, a good guy. So he's often called the great dissenter due to his many dissents in cases that restricted civil liberties. Yeah, that's right. He was a good man. Tell him the truth, right? He said, what did he say? He said that Congress had no existence and therefore had no authority outside the Constitution. Okay? So what does he say about what happened here? He says that the idea prevails with some, indeed, it has expression in arguments at the bar that we have in this country substantially two national governments. One to be maintained under the Constitution with all its restrictions, right, in 50 states, and the other to be maintained by Congress outside and independently of that instrument, the Constitution, like in Washington, D.C., and territories, right? By exercising such unlimited powers as other nations of the earth are accustomed to, right? And he says, I take leave to say that if the principles thus announced should ever receive the sanction of the majority of this court, and guess what? The majority of this court did approve of it, unfortunately, right? A radical and mischievous change in our system will result. Oh, yes, we certainly have had a radical a mischievous change in our system, taxing the people in the 50 states by deception. He continues that in that case, we will, in that event, pass from an era of constitutional liberty guarded and protected by a written constitution into an era of legislative absolutism, which means the legislature is king god. They can make any laws, whatever they want, in a matter of taxes, right? And in that case, it will be an evil day for American liberty if the theory of a government outside of the supreme law of the land finds lodgment or place in our constitutional, who this means constitutional system of laws. No higher duty rests upon this court than to exert its full authority to prevent all violation of the principles of the Constitution. Well, except the Supreme Court, folks, failed the American people. They failed the majority of them. And allowed this system to take place, but later on in the 1930s, actually, it started with Roosevelt. I showed you guys last week, the Freedom Hour we had last week on March 5th, 2020, which I have it right here in front of you right now, folks. Here it is. I showed you how since 1913 with President Roosevelt, the federal income tax only applied to federal territories, right? June 7th, actually. This is a question and answer session one, not the other version, one. So, anyhow, that's the So, and then Franklin Roosevelt kept that going in the 1930s through the Great Depression, 1940s, World War II. So let's make no mistake about it, folks. The income tax applies to Washington, D.C. citizens, residents, and anything connected money to or from D.C. Now, people say, well, this court says that. That court says the other. The court disagree. Well, guess what, folks? A court can say that you have two heads. Well, the court should have two heads. So, guess what? Folks, I have two heads. A judge said that. Oh, no. A group of judges. A Federal Circuit Court of Appeals said that. Three of them. Even better. I have two heads. Therefore, I have two heads. The idea that whatever a judge or a group of judges says is reality is absurd. It's ridiculous. The judges have no lawful right or authority to ignore and change the laws written by Congress. Now, they may do that, and they sadly do it with taxes and other areas of our rights, but it doesn't make it right. In fact, when they do that, they are committing a crime, no different than a 250-pound, 6'4" muscle-bound bodybuilder in the middle of a jungle with a young 17-year-old lady and says, look, I'm going to get on with you, so let's do it. And she says, nope, you can't do that. You have no authority. Respect yourself, respect me. You have no right authority to do that. And he says, well, I'm the power. I can do it. So you can either let me do it voluntarily to you, or I'll just force you, beat you overhead. Right? Now, and he submits, okay, if you're going to do it to me, fine. Go ahead. Get it done. Okay? But that man is a criminal. Right? Lawbreaker. Lawless. So are these black robe lawyers on the bench that they say, they call, everybody calls them, Your Honor. Oh, Your Honor. Oh, the mighty God judge. Oh, holy judge. You know? They're human beings just like you and me, folks. They put their pants on, these black robe judges, just like you and I, go to the bathroom and wipe their butt just like you and I. And they can lie just like the average guy on the street. They just got just like priests can do that, right? You know any bad priest ever? No? The corrupt judges, corrupt priests, corrupt doctors, corrupt salesmen, every occupation. So the fact that we have a deep state, we have these government lawyers in the U.S. Department of Injustice who persuade their buddy lawyer friend on the bench, the judges, hey, judge, let's read the law to be different than what it is. And the judge says, yeah, I'm with you, brother. And I'm not going to be the one to expose the fact that we all got together for the last 70 plus years and ripped off the American people illegally up trillions of dollars. Yeah. More power to ourselves, more bigger pay, bigger pensions, and our benefactors who put us here, the congressmen, the big banks, the corporation lobbies with the money buy off the system, they put us in there indirectly. They all got to benefit from it. Let's not let the American people know. We just go on with the hoax. The average American is just simply too busy making a living, trying to pay the rent, mortgage, food, insurance, living expenses, And they're too busy. If they're not too busy, we keep them entertained with sports and soap operas and all the entertainment stuff that they don't have time to read and think and see how you're taking advantage of them. Let's just let the dummies be what they're doing. Let the sheeple be sheeple. I don't know about you folks, but I'm not a sheeple. I'm not sheep. And I know if you watch this presentation this far, you're not a sheep either. The problem is, too many of our American people, neighbor and friends, family members, do not know about this. And until the advent of internet, where the laws were so easy, accessible online, just like that I showed you, it was extremely, extremely difficult to make this case into just a one-hour presentation. You couldn't do it. I went to a law library in the 1990s. You know, you had to go physically go there, find the law book, open the right law page, copy it for later use. Too much hassle. Now, it's easy. And let me tell you how powerful this is. They claim Martin Luther is the father of Protestant movement. And all the churches came out of the Catholic Church, right? But it's not true. Martin Luther is not the real father of the Protestant Christian movement. The real credit belongs to Gutenberg and the Gutenberg Press, which allowed the Bible to be printed by the thousands and passed on by a common average person to read the same way I showed you all this stuff on your computer screen now. You can see it. You can see the truth. And don't worry about the crooked courts. They don't, you know, they can't take enough of you to court, folks. They don't have enough resources and money to take you to courts. They don't. Take you to a congressman. Take you to an employer. Take you to the third party you deal with. Okay? That's where we belong, because they don't want to see you in court. They just can't handle it. The written laws, by the way, that you could not really go to court for tax matters, very restricted times. So don't have to worry about the courts, folks. Okay? But bottom line is, folks, this peaceful revolution of knowledge needs to pass on to others around you. And it needs to go to people around you. By who? By you, my friend. You're the one that got to share this presentation of Freedom Law School to your friends. So text it to your friends, your family members. Watch this. Tell me what you think. Am I off my head, or does this make sense to you like it does to me? What do you think about this? You know? I really like to get your opinion. Okay? Email to them. Put it on your Facebook page. Any social media. But do text it to your friends on the smartphone. Tell them, look, listen to this as you drive to work tomorrow. Stuck in the traffic of the freeway. You don't have the time to watch the words. That's okay. You can do that when you get home, when you want to. He reads everything on this that's on the screen for you. You can go home when you want to check it out a second time. You'll see it. You'll say, whoa, what I heard in the car was right. So encourage your friends in their car, in the automobiles on the way to and from work, to listen to this stuff on the car. Don't have to watch it. Listen. They can listen and watch it at home that night or the weekend if they want to. But you got to get them start listening to it first. Okay? Folks, there's a saying. If it's to be, it's up to me. So if this is going to happen, if your friends and family members, people in your community, your work going to find out about it, it's up to you. Whether you're a trucker, you work at a company, get this information out. Call Freedom Law School, and Freedom Law School will get you as many of our freedom catalogs like this mailed to you at no charge. Field Loss, a beautiful color field catalog. Okay? Yes. As many as you want. Pass it on to other people. Folks, and give them an opportunity to become free like you are taking a step to freedom. There's one more famous quote. If not now, when? When are you going to become an ambassador of freedom and take this information and pass it on to other people? When? Next year? 2 years from now? 4 months from now? How about now? How about now? Call Freedom Law School at 813-444-4800. I'm going to put the number on your screen for you, okay? Here it is. Freedom Law School, you know, if you go to the bottom of our pages, contact is at the very bottom. Here it is. Contact us. It's all there. You can email us, get us free Freedom Education Package, and contact us. Okay, here it is, our phone number. Okay, 813-444-4800. We'll send you the catalogs as many as you want. Or you can go to on our front page and sign up for your free Freedom Education Package. Okay, and then to get started, fill out the information below here and click on the gold color tab in the bottom here. And if you got a package before, that's okay. You can fill it out again. Say, I already got your package. Send me some of this material. Freedom catalogs in the mail. We'll do that for you. Okay? We'll send you as many as possible. You can do it now or call us. And I'll tell you something else. Our proposition for you folks. You know what my proposition is? I like to pay each one of you and support you for taking your time to talk to other people about freedom. Now, I'm willing to pay each one of you up to $4,000 cash for referring someone else to Freedom Law School. Cash. No W-2s will be sent to the IRS. No 1099s. I don't request a W-4 from you. I will not ask for your Satan surveillance number, SSN, from you. None as required by law. You're going to get an envelope coming to you with a bunch of $100 bills. To what? To become ambassador of freedom. You're healed by anointed. Go out there and talk to people. Share the good news, folks. Don't worry about those who are closed-minded, not interested, not intelligent. Just have fun, folks, like I do. And we're going to make progress. Folks, we've made a lot of progress. I started in this work in 1992. I was only 29 years old. I'm 57 now. Freedom Law School started in 1996. And I've been for all the 7 hours trying. They try to stop me? They can't, folks. They can't stop me. They tried. They're lost. And you got my backing. I'll be behind there for you, folks. So I don't want to take any more time about this stuff. I'm going to be going to our question and answers very soon. Go out there. Start having fun. Sharing the Freedom News, the Freedom Hour with everybody else, folks. Invite them to come listen to these Freedom Hours, okay? And every Thursday night, listen in, and I'm going to give you more tools, more inspiration for freedom for you now. So let's take a break right now. I'm going to continue on momentarily with a question and answer session of the Freedom Hour tonight. Okay. Now we're going to go on to the question-answer session of the Freedom Hour topic tonight on how the many definitions of the term United States in federal laws and federal tax law especially proves that the definition of United States and state in the federal tax laws applies primarily only to D.C. The federal income tax applies to Washington, D.C. Okay, I covered that in the video, and I refer to 3 other videos that you should watch that gives you complete picture about this. Let's go to your questions right now. Okay, let's go to questions we have on Blog Talk Radio. The number will be on the screen announced for you to call, folks. The number to call is 657-383-1755. Call that number, press 1 on your telephone keypad, and you'll be on a waiting list to get your questions answered. Let's go to our first caller. We have from area code 970. What is your first name, my friend, that called from area code 970? And let me know if you have a free frame education package yet. Hello, are you there? Call from area code 970. I don't hear you. Are you there, my friend? Okay, I don't hear him, guys. So let's go through some questions. Oh, I hear something.
Hey,
is that him? Yes, this is Paymon. Who is this?
Yeah, this is Jim in Colorado.
Very good, my friend. You've been on the call before, haven't you, on the Freedom Hour?
Yeah, I think I was on last week. But I'm still in the process of going through your information, so I really don't have a question right now, but I'm sure I will in the future.
Okay, very good, my friend. Well, thanks for saying hello. Let me go to some questions we have online. You're welcome. My pleasure. Online, we have a bunch of comments and questions, so let me get to those folks. I'll do my best to respond to comments and questions on social media, but remember, you know, sometimes they cannot be done because online the questions are sometimes are not very clear. So let's go to the top. Crypto Integration, one of our, you know, regular listeners. You know, thanks for your love. I really appreciate it. Love you too, Crypto. Thank you. And thank you for support. Okay. You're an accountant. Interesting. Well, we got to get together sometimes, okay, and they'll help you do correct accounting for people, right? We'll look forward to talking to you very soon. Okay, teamwork, absolutely. And, oh, my tie, that you love, my wife, April, she gets the credit for the folks. She's a beautiful lady. She keeps the tabs on me, keeps me dry and prepared. Thank you. So John Williams says, YouTube or your provider, service provider, hates when you watch certain live streams because, like mine, keep on buffering or cutting out. Yeah, I wonder about that, you know. I wonder about – and by the way, funny thing, on IRS's website, I just came across about a year ago, March last year, that, on YouTube, certain people on income tax say these outlandish claims about the income tax. They don't have to pay outlandish claims about it. You don't have to pay income tax. You know what? What's funny about that? IRS is watching these presentations. Yes. IRS staff is watching these presentations. Well, IRS spy that's watching this. Other videos of Freedom Law School. You took an oath to uphold the Constitution. To defend the American people's rights. By defending the U.S. Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Yeah, I know to you it's just a job. I know you just had to get a job with the IRS because that's all you could get at the time. I understand. I'm empathizing with you. We all got to make a living. So do you. I got it. But, you know, you don't have to do whatever illegal thing that your superiors up there tell you. You know, you have a choice. You have a choice to make the conscientious right decision. Say, nope. This is not right. I'm not going to be part of this evil doing of lies, deception, and robbery. I cannot let myself do that. And I will not be part of that. And I'm going to stop. Ideally, you confront the higher-ups of the IRS. And if you want to do that, contact Freedom Law School. We will support you. I will support you. Like I did with Joel Bannister, the former gun-carrying IRS special agent, who in 1997 contacted me, educated him. He ended up leaving the IRS. He was a gun-carrying special agent with the IRS. They tried to put him in jail. They failed. So I'll support you. So that's what you want to do, my friend. You know, even though you work for the IRS, I hold no grudge or hate toward you. You just try to make your living. I just want you to be in peace with yourself, that you know you're doing the right thing. When you go to sleep at night, when you go to your child's face, that your mom, your dad is here to do good. The mommy, dad is here to bring the better world for you. You can live with peace with yourself. So, stay watching Freedom Law School, folks. Isn't that something? Because Freedom Law School is the biggest tagged on the Freedom Group on internet. They're watching Field Marshal. Okay. Okay, let's go to other commentaries. Nihi Intum Ramanabit, sorry if I didn't say your name right, my friend, says DC has its own tax law, so why is the IRC not redundant? Okay, you know what? They can do that. They can have separate redundant taxes for Washington, D.C. Nothing stops the IRS to make a tax for those that only live in D.C. See, they, as we showed in the previous presentation, the federal income tax applies to D.C. citizens and residents. If you're a foreigner living in D.C. from France or Italy, you got to pay income tax. If you're a citizen of D.C., right, you live in D.C., you know, you've been there for many years, and you travel to France or Italy, you have to pay income tax on what you make in France and Italy, because you're from D.C. If you're a federal government corporate worker, like from a Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation that guarantees your bank deposits for $250,000, you work for the USPS Post Office, which is part of the, you know, a corporation created by the Congress, or the Federal Reserve Governing Board in D.C., right? All these corporations they create, Freddie Mac, you heard all. Guess what? You got to pay income tax. If you're a federal government employee, right, anywhere, your money comes from D.C. You could be an embassy in Japan or Russia or England. Doesn't matter. You work for U.S. Embassy in D.C., you got to pay income tax. And if you are a military contractor to build guns, machine guns, whatever, for federal government in D.C., you have to pay income tax on that. But they can't. That nothing stops the Congress from saying, look, you know, D.C. City Council, you could make additional tax on people that live in D.C. That's fine. You can have a sales tax in D.C., property tax in D.C., driver's license tax on D.C. They can do that. That's totally, there's nothing contradictory. It's perfectly okay. All right? Let's see. Let's go to other quick comments. Now, Brett says you can term state. It was changed after Hawaii. Alaska, Hawaii became states. They passed the law changing that. Well, I covered that. You are right, Brett J. Okay. In fact, I'm going to show you on my screen that I covered this issue last week. Okay. I covered that issue. Folks, let me show that to you. The right one. Since 1913, folks. Here we go. Yeah, here we go. This is the one. Okay. In this presentation, folks, since 1913, the federal income tax has only applied to federal territories. I traced that from 1913, just like you said, and when Alaska, Hawaii, they became states, the income tax no longer applied to them. You're absolutely right, my friends. I'll watch this. And I go over that in more detail, my friend. Thank you for bringing it up. And my name, by the way, is Peymon, P-E-Y-M-O-N. The man that pays is the easy way to remember my name. Motahede, don't worry about it. Just go by, call me Peymon. I'm probably the only Peymon you'll ever meet in your life, okay? Thanks for your love, my friend, with a long name you got there, D-O-H-C. And let's see, thanks for your kind words. And now, Odai Noda says, which United States Internal Revenue Code book you could advise me to apply? Really appreciate it, guys. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to get it, first of all, you can look it up online these days. Okay, my book is over 20 years old, July 1999. I got this from late great Urban Schiff. He was telling him to go, let's get it from my friend, support him. He had some tabs in there already. I added more tabs of the good stuff in here over the years. But you can get it from the Research Institute of America, RIA. RIA, Research Institute of America, this one I got. Another one's from Commerce Clearinghouse. Commerce Clearinghouse. So put on your search engine, Commerce Clearinghouse or Research Institute of America, and then my Internal Revenue Code, it'll come up. Okay? You can get it down. Because it has benefits, I agree. Sometimes I prefer the book, especially when I want to tab it. For that, it's good. Okay? Okay, I'm glad that MRGF78, you know she'd be there, my friend. Thank you, brother, sister. I'm glad that you're listening and supporting our Freedom Works, my friend. Okay. Now, House of Nathan says, would anyone in the chat apply for a death pledge knowing and willingly if the mortgage read death pledge? I'm not sure what you mean by the mortgage read death pledge. So, anyhow. All right, let's see. LG says, there's a question, says, I have a family of accountants, and I received so much backlash from them when I told them income tax is unconstitutional. Well, all right, LG, how'd you tell them that? And I do not say the income tax is unconstitutional. I just showed you. In fact, it's very, very constitutional and legal. However, it only applies to Washington, D.C. and D.C. connected activities and money. It does not apply to 50 states. It's being misapplied in the 50 states. That is the problem. Got it? So you could say the misapplication is illegal in the 50 states. Misapplication is unconstitutional, but you know, that's not exactly unconstitutional or illegal because the law is written correctly. It's just not being applied. It's a fine distinction between those, even though the practical result is the same. Okay. Well, I've got some people who have a problem saying my name, you know, on this Freedom Hour. That's great. Now, Gloria says, what if you work on a military base outside of D.C., but it's federal? Do you have to pay income tax? Yes. Gloria, that's a good example of yes, you do. Because you're getting your money from a federal source. Because a military base is a territory, a land over which the federal government is sovereign. So if you work on a federal military base, get your money out of that base, yes. You got to pay income tax on that. But once you stop doing that, you can stop. It's all good. Okay, yeah, because it's a possession territory of the United States. Could be a small possession of territory. It could be only, you know, 2 miles square or 20 miles square. It doesn't matter. It still belongs to the United States, okay? All right. Very good. I think that's all the questions we have for tonight, folks. Well, I'm going to leave you guys with a bonus, okay? You know, sometimes people tell me, Pamela, why you do all this? Well, I do it because I believe in the truth. I believe in being honest, good, loving. I come from Iran, where the Zoroastrianism, the first religion of the world, came from. And the creed of the Zoroastrians was, you know, think good things, say good things, and do good things. So I'm trying to do that. I mean, since I was 6 years old, I heard that. I thought, that sounds good to me. I'm not a Zoroastrian guy, but I like those principles, you know? But I'm going to leave you something even more special than that. And that is that, you know, there's a purpose why we do all this, folks. There's a reason why you come across all this, a higher purpose. And that is, folks, you are the kind of person that was meant to be on earth to make a loving, positive difference in life of the human being. Okay? So, I'm going to bring about something for you to watch, okay, on the screen as a bonus. You don't have to do it. It's not about taxes, but about something about what we're really all about here on this earth to do. Okay? So here it is, folks. I looked up near-death experience, Eben Alexander. Okay? This man here, this first one, he was a neurosurgeon, okay, brain surgeon, who died and came back to tell about the other side, folks. Okay? This is his presentation, okay, that I'd like to invite you to watch, okay, and before the Theosophical Society of America, okay? That's him, you know, that's coming up, okay? So no, that's the introduction. That's him, okay? So I invite you folks, watch this presentation or just listen on your drive. And I hope you'll get a different inspiration, a different level of heart of what this is all about beyond all this legal stuff, beyond all the material stuff that we try and help the American people out of poverty, lift them out of poverty, but not being robbed by the federal government into poverty, into credit card debt. It'll give a different perspective, which I hope you appreciate and love as much as I did. So with that, folks, I'm going to bid you good night. I love you, and I'll be back with you next Thursday night with another edition of Freedom Hour, 7 p.m. every Thursday night. Good night.